Well, welcome everybody to what will be an exciting edition of Last Christian Today. We are going to light things up, and I'm going to start this way, David. It's going to be kind of weird. I am a member of the U.S. Press Association. That means I have the right to broadcast politically on occasion. It also means that I can pull from other news agencies, just like every other news agency in the world does. And I'm going to tell you that right now, the world is at a point where it is ready for the Antichrist. And we're going to detail that today by doing it with the current news event. It's going to be really, really clear to you. There's some stupid stuff going on out there, David, that people need to know about, unfortunately. But then we're going to turn to Israel, because Israel is where, as you can see on my little screen behind me here, it says all eyes on Israel. Believe it or not, the world is turning all eyes on Israel right now. Anyway, my co-host there, Mr. David Paxton, is joining us all the way from New York City, and they're right in the middle of everything. How are you doing today, David?
Oh, good. It's a lot of fun. I have stacked the newspapers behind me with all the news for today, as you can see.
Yeah.
It's quite amazing. I even woke up again this morning, and the libtardness is just over the top with so many. Now, you got to think, a lot of this is propaganda paid for by the people who would push this narrative, but still, the ones that are buying into it, with the whole supporting of Palestine. Here's like the gay group supporting Palestine. Mm-hmm. It's like, I saw a meme that had a gay pride month in the Middle East, and it had just a big pile of rocks.
Well, yeah, that's about all it is. I mean, for those of you that don't know, and if you don't believe me, look this up. If any person who called themselves gay or LGBTQ or any of that stuff went to an Islamic country, you would be convicted and you would be executed, thrown off a building, burned alive, had your head chopped off, something like that. But you wouldn't be allowed to speak. You wouldn't be allowed to do anything, and they don't have trials, fair or not. Okay, I mean, that's just the truth. But before we get into all this stuff, I do want to play this one because I think this is kind of funny. Okay. Let's just listen to this one real quick.
Technologies such as artificial intelligence and electric vehicles have increased demand on America's power grid.
The demand is so much that members of the Senate Committee on Energy and Natural Resources said Tuesday that the grid will need to rely on fossil fuel longer than expected and delay a transition to cleaner energy. Jessica Oakley reporting.
Yeah, thank you. You know, I have been saying this for a long time. You know, we have rolling blackouts here in Texas if the temperature goes up like 2 degrees. And so now imagine every car getting plugged into that grid.
Right.
You wouldn't have rolling blackouts. You would have a blackout, period. That's it.
Yeah, it's so ironic that, here they are telling you, you have to rely on electricity, and then tell you, it's too much on the power grid. You got to shut your air conditioning off and don't charge your car. It's all about control. We know it.
Yeah.
But it's just amazing that because so many people are dumbed down by certain shots that they're putting out there on purpose to do this, that it's all part of the agenda that's coming in. And we could see that. That's all through the Bible.
Absolutely.
And they just don't pay attention. And they're just, just follow the leader. Follow the leader. Yeah. You know?
Well, I mean, AOC, a former bartender, came up with all this Green New Deal crap. And politicians bought into it, and now they're overbuying into it, and now they've imposed it on us. And so we went from $2 gas to $5 gas under Biden. No matter, he said that there was a 9% inflation rate when he took office. No, it was under 2. I don't get it. The man has no idea. He just reads what he's in front of him.
Here, read this.
If he can remember to read it, because sometimes he goes off script. But anyway, okay. Now then, here's the next one, and this one is more serious, but it's also has to do with the Biden administration. I'll just be blunt. Just listen to this one.
Cyber attacks against water utilities across the country are becoming more frequent and more severe, the Environmental Protection Agency warned.
Approximately 70% of utilities inspected by federal officials over the last year violated standards meant to prevent breaches or other intrusions, the agency said. Officials urged even small water systems to improve protections against hacks. Recent cyber attacks by groups affiliated with Russia and Iran have targeted smaller communities. Jim Kender reporting.
70%. Can you imagine that? 70% of our utilities are under cyber attack?
Yep.
Man.
Yep.
Go ahead.
A lot of that is they try and it's scare tactics as well. So, yeah, they could be like they have them targeted, but you got to expect that. That's why they put in the safeguards. They put in the VPNs and all the different things.
Right.
They do that on purpose because they know they're going to be attacked. But now they still need the fear mongering. So, they got to put this out there.
Would it have anything to do with the 10 to 20 million illegals that we've allowed in to come through the southern border?
Well, it could. But here's a simple solution. Take them offline. You know, you can run the entire system without having to be plugged into the internet.
Right.
Duh. I mean, come on. How simple is that? Just unplug the internet and the computer will still run on its own. Trust me.
You can absolutely run. Yeah. Well, I mean, think about that in your own life. You know, yep. I mean, it's not like I spend all my time online. You know, a lot of times my computer's disconnected from the internet and I'm just working. Yeah. I get what you're saying. All right. Now, here's one.
Computer still works.
Okay, here's one, and this one I'm going to ask you about. We'll get into it just a little bit, David, because you live there in New York, even though I know you don't live in the Bronx, but I know that you live up there. So here's this one.
And fake accounts posting about the U.S. presidential election are spreading across X, formerly known as Twitter, according to new research. A study first published by Reuters news agency monitoring posts on the social media platform found a high proportion of accounts praising former President Donald Trump and criticizing President Joe Biden are not real. This comes as both presidential candidates ramp up their campaign efforts, with less than 6 months to go until Americans head to the polls.
I love it, Donald Trump. It's my favorite presidente. I love him.
Trump's presidential campaign is turning its focus to African-American and Hispanic communities. At least 1,000 people attended the former president's rally in the Bronx in New York City on Thursday. Mitch McCann reports.
Donald Trump's venue for Thursday's rally was an unusual location for a Republican. No GOP candidate has won New York since Ronald Reagan back in 1984. But in the Bronx, Trump focused on New York life, promising to make the city affordable again and to clean up the subway system. Trump says he will do that so it no longer looks like it hasn't been cleaned since 1932. The former president also focused on African-American and Hispanic voters. Trump blamed President Joe Biden for problems facing those communities. African-Americans are getting slaughtered. Hispanic-Americans are getting slaughtered, he said. Ahead of November's election, Trump says those communities can rely on him to improve their lives. Mitch McCann, New York.
Yeah, he can improve their lives if they vote him in, you know. I mean, it's pretty simple. But a couple of things.
Well, it's already done that.
Number one, the report started off by saying that Reuters had concluded that they had found all these fake accounts on Twitter, you want to call it. Okay, how does Reuters know that?
Well, it just sounds good. Reuters is a big name, so they did this.
Exactly. In other words, they're making it up.
Yeah.
they're making it up because the fake accounts just happen. Every one of them, the fake accounts just happen to be pro-Trump. Every single one of them. There's no fake accounts for Biden. Not one.
Well, no.
Okay. Of course here's the deal. There are no accounts that support Biden. How's that for you? Okay. All right. Now, number two.
You'll actually notice them. The ones that are.
Are stupid.
You will notice a complete weirdness about them.
Right.
But, I mean, folks, we don't have to explain it to you. Just go on there. Go on the Facebook and look at the account. Go on the X and look at the accounts and all that stuff. You will see, granted, there probably is some fake accounts because people do that and they want to bring up the support.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, from what I see, it's probably 10 to 1, the fake accounts for Biden. And because the people on there, look at their background. When you get on and you click on one of their posts, just go on and look at everything else.
Right.
Okay, that's all it is. Okay. Right. So it's not about, you know, hey, I went over here today. It's not about my kid did this. It's not about thoughts of their own. It's only to push their narrative. And you see they're relatively old. I mean, young. They're relatively new accounts. But just look at them and compare them yourself. We don't have to like get into that. There's so many of them. But there's even more fake accounts that are pro-Palestinian now. Because they do that as just for a living because they got nothing else to do because they don't have any brains.
Plus they have the money. Plus they have the money. They've got the George Soros money behind them too, right?
Yeah, so they're over there. They're desperate. They need money. People say, hey, look, I'll give you $5 a week. You can just make these accounts and put these up there. Right. Over and over and over again, you see the same posts from so many different names.
Yeah.
And then, you know, and the babies crying and all the propaganda that they push and its preponderance. That's even more than the Biden thing, because I think they want to do that, try and see if they could stop the election.
Yeah, I agree.
You know,
Another thing that they said there, David, was that there was 1,000 people that were at that rally. Well, now, look, I happen to have watched that rally myself.
Yeah. 1,000.
If that's 1,000 people, then Grand Saline's got like 10 people in the whole town.
There were more than 1,000 cops just to watch the people. I can guarantee you that. Okay? Because I know quite a few of them. And they're like, yeah, we got to go over here. So, there was 1,000.
I would say there was at least 10,000, right? Somewhere in that range.
It was way more than that. Okay. I mean, there's several lines.
Go ahead. You were telling me that before the show started about the lines trying to get in. Go ahead.
There were other areas, and they kept people away. The whole idea was when you go into Trump Tower in Manhattan, you know, you walk by there, and they kind of block off the sidewalk and everything. Well, it's not to keep, you know, because there's – what am I trying to say? Basically – all the retards are over there and they'd start trouble. Okay. They'd start breaking the windows. They'd start harassing everybody coming out of the building. And they just start a lot of trouble on purpose. So they had to block off the whole front of his building just to keep the people away.
Yeah.
Well, they also go to these rallies and try and cause trouble. And they'll pour paint on people and acid and start fights. And they'll pretend they're Trump supporters and then get in there and do all sorts of weird things. So they were actually limiting the number of people that could go directly to it.
Right.
But what you don't see is off to the sides, there were a number of different areas with thousands upon thousands of people in each area waiting to get in, and they just wouldn't let them in because of the safety issues, being that it's here in New York City.
So you're saying that the mainstream media reports of people being bussed in were incorrect.
Oh, you don't have to bust them in. That would just be a headache because there's too many people that show up already. Can you imagine the NYPD saying, oh yeah, go ahead, just bust some more people in? It'd be like, no. Look, we have no problem with the people that are here.
Right.
So they bust them in. They like they need to do that. They bust them in for Biden and no one would get on the bus.
He has trouble. Well, you know, he had a news conference the other day. I'm not going to stick on Biden too much here, but he had a news conference the other day with the Nigerian president, I believe it was. And they took 2 questions after a news conference. And then he said, that's it. I can't take no more. I can't take it anymore. And he's going to actually debate Donald Trump.
Yeah. Well, I hope maybe he'll be one of the doppelgangers. Who knows?
Look, I hope they keep Trump's mic off. Turn him off. I'm good with that. You know, ask Biden a question, shut off Trump's mic, and let Biden talk. Please let the man speak. Let him talk as long as he wants to about anything he wants to. And let the whole world see what the man is really all about. He's a senile guy who, and you know, I'm going to say it. I've heard people say it on main media now, so I feel free to say it. The man has Alzheimer's, and he's just going to have to live with it. And also, elder abuse is by the current person who impersonates a first lady. Jill Biden mm-hmm. should be prosecuted for elder abuse. That's my opinion. And also, by the way, I report that as a member of the U.S. Press Association, or KRRB. Thank you very much.
I think what she does is she gets curtains from the 60s and then makes dresses out of them.
Oh, it kind of looks like it.
I think that's what happens. Yeah. But anyway, yeah. I live here. I can tell you this. Yes, very big support among all the African-American, all Latino communities. Mm-hmm. They are really, really in support of Trump. Yeah. It's very interesting to see, because they're starting to see all the nonsense that's coming out, mm-hmm. and they have to turn somewhere, so they look to the savior. The problem is he the savior that they provide? That's the real question.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the past, David, people voted for the Democrat because of what the Democrat said, right? You know, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do this other thing, which never, ever happened. But anyway, they kept saying that it was going to happen. Then something strange happened, and Donald Trump was elected president, and he did everything that he said he was going to do, and everybody's life got better. And then he had the election happen, and, you know, I'm not going to get into whether or not it was stolen or not. I have my own personal opinion on that, but I'm not going to express it. And President Biden is elected, he takes over, and he runs the country into the ground. Worst president mm-hmm. in the history of time, in my opinion. And people compare that, and they say, hey, my life was pretty good under Trump. It's been horrible under Biden. Okay, mm-hmm. I think I'll go with Trump. And right now, if the election was held today, I think it would be a 50-0 blowout. I really do.
Oh, yeah.
Now, what
we're terrified, too, because, you know, Biden is just incompetent. And even the vast majority of, you know, diehard Democrats that I know don't like him.
Yeah.
So they got a problem. Now, they keep him in there, and they're going to lose. Or if they put someone else, they're going to split the vote, and they're going to lose even more.
Okay, well, now, I told you we would get into that a little bit, and I think we can at this point, and that is... Mm-hmm. There's more and more people calling for Biden to step aside. Of mm-hmm. course, there's one person, the one person that could make it happen is totally against it, and that's Jill Biden. She wants to be First Lady of the United States for the rest of her natural life, if possible.
She needs more curtain dresses.
Right. So do you think Joe Biden will face Donald Trump in November in the next election?
Wow, that's a crapshoot, huh? You know what? And I would not be surprised if all of a sudden they found some reason that was medically necessary for him not to run, because that's what everyone believes about him anyway. Oh, he had, you know, he had a stroke, or he had this, or a heart, blah, 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 blah. They'll find some reason. That's my thought on it. I'm going to put $10 on that. What do you think?
Well, I'm gonna say something here. I'm gotta be real, real careful with the wording here. Okay? We're going to have a guest on the next show. Mm-hmm. We know about him already, and he will be on our very next show. And this guy has been under assault by the United States government. He was a former member of the United States government who spoke up, and now the government. And listen to this show next time, and you'll find out just how severe it is. It's bad. Really, really bad. And I think it exposes what Donald Trump began to expose when he was president, and what he will expose more when he becomes the next president, should he win. So, y'all prepare yourself for that, okay? I think there's a possibility. And again, I'm trying to choose my words very carefully here. I think there's a possibility that within the United States government, something happens, and all of a sudden, Joe Biden is no longer even considered to be a candidate. It could it could be that extreme, is what I'm saying. Don't be shocked.
At the corporate level, you mean, the United States government.
Right. Don't be shocked.
Corporation, as we all know.
Yeah. Don't be shocked, is what I'm saying.
All right. I'm going to put another $5 on that just to hedge my bet.
Well, you know, I think you've said it in the past. It wouldn't be the first time the United States has stepped in and done something. You know, now, you know, I'm old, so I can go back and look at history a little bit. And back when Vietnam was just a thing, you know, that people didn't really pay any attention to, eventually we first sent in what were called advisors. Just, you know, teach them how to shoot a gun, right? Teach them how to aim right and all that kind of good stuff. And they had a president in South Korea that the United States government wasn't too thrilled about, and all of a sudden the guy was dead.
Oops.
You know? The United States also, and again, history buff here, and guys, look it up if you want to, we actually had a hit squad out on Fidel Castro in Cuba that attempted to kill him several times.
Yeah, how come that didn't do that? Yeah. He must have good protection.
He had really good
protection. He had all Russia backing him.
Actually, he had a, there was a person that had infiltrated all the way in. She had become really close to him and had a cyanide pill, and she dropped it in something. I don't remember what it was, but it made it nasty. And she said, I just couldn't give it to him. It would have killed him. Okay. What I'm saying is that the United States government is not some sweet little organization out there, okay? Mm. We got bad people, too. Bad people doing good things in some cases, and bad people doing bad things in other cases. So, again, nothing surprises me that comes out of Washington.
Well, I remember the story. I saw this story once, and it was about a lady who infiltrated our government, and she was telling him all the stuff they were doing, and that's how he got away from everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, they
killed her for treason.
So. Yeah, we also had a president that slept with a spy. But anyway, never mind. We'll get into all that maybe someday. Okay, before we waste any more time here on stuff that really doesn't matter, I want to get to things that do. And we're going to start, first of all, with the number one threat in the world, and that is Iran. And if you guys have not heard this already, the Iranian president, along with several leaders of the Iranian government, had a plane crash and they died.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, let's listen to this one real quick. See if I can ever hit the button. There we go.
With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks. Today, what happens next in Iran following the weekend death of President Ibrahim Raisi? The country will hold a fresh presidential election on June the 28th. Handicapping the race, Karim Sadjipour of the Carnegie Endowment for International Peace.
I always thought of Raisi as Khamenei's mini-me, someone he had cultivated for a couple of decades, and I think this is a big blow to him. So one option is for him to introduce his son to Iranians by having him run in the presidential election. I think that's unlikely, but, you know, perhaps in the realm of possibilities. Another is you go with a steady hand and someone who has a background in the security forces and the Revolutionary Guards. And, you know, perhaps an obvious candidate for that would be Ghalibaf, who's the current Speaker of Parliament. You know, another option is you try to find another mini-me. It's, you know, increasingly slim pickings of finding a Venn diagram of someone who is both a hardline ideologue and has some managerial competence. My view is that Raisi's death really accelerates one of two likely outcomes, which is Iran's transition to more of a military dictatorship, or frankly, the regime's implosion.
Other analysts argue there is less current risk to Iran's clerical regime, but the election itself is an unexpected and complex challenge, given very low voter turnout in parliamentary elections 2 months ago. With FSN Spotlight, I'm Simon Marks.
Low turnout 2 months ago because they already know the outcome, so what's the point, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't think that there's going to be any change in any way whatsoever. And let's be clear here, any elections that they hold is fraudulent. They put in who they want to put in, and if they don't like the results, then they just change them. You know, it's real easy. So,
whether your finger's purple or not.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I don't expect any major changes out of Iran, do you?
No, I'm just wondering, was this an act of God, or did they off him? Or is it both and?
Yeah.
Like who wanted him out?
Well, you know, I looked into that a little bit, David. And number one, of course, the first thought was Israel did it. That's the first thing that everybody comes to. Mm-hmm. But Israel, of course, said that they've got they had absolutely nothing to do with it. And now I can't remember if this was a plane or a helicopter or whatever, but it hit a mountain. Okay, it hit a mountain. That's what happened. And the reason that I think that it was probably just an accident is if you go back to Kobe Bryant, remember, I mean, he was a well-known basketball star here in the United States, and his helicopter or plane or whatever ran into a mountain. You know, just a bad day, mm-hmm. you know. And so I think that's probably what happened. But I'm also...
Well, rumors around that one, too, but anyway.
Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna rule out anything, you know. I mean, anything's possible, and, you know, Israel hated it. No doubt about it. And, you know, if they did it, they're not going to tell you they did. So, you know, that's possible. Could have been an internal conflict.
Wouldn't they say I can neither confirm nor deny as opposed to unequivocally no?
Maybe. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
I think the best meme, though, I've seen is they got a picture of him and he's just kind of looking like this. And it says, that moment when you find out there are not 72 virgins,
yeah,
but in fact they are men anxiously waiting your arrival. You can read into that what you want.
Well, I'll just say it, you know, plain and simple. He now knows that Jesus Christ is Lord, and his knee has already bowing. So it's too late for him. It's too late for him to confess now. But he had his whole life. He was in his 70s, I believe. So, you know,
You know what? I think part of the reason for the low voter turnout is the fact that they actually would kill anyone who's a Christian or promote it or anything, and proselytizing was punishable by death. And they really, really hampered the preaching of the gospel. So Jesus is like, okay, I'll come in the dreams. And there's myriads and myriads of Persians of all kinds, Iranians, Iraqis, all of them that are having dreams and converting and coming over to see Jesus as the Messiah. That's another thing that tells us we're right smack at the end of the age.
Absolutely. And we're coming down to the end of the first half of the show today, and we haven't even gotten to Israel yet, not directly, but the entire second half of the show is nothing but Israel, the whole thing. And we're going to show you that the world right now is at that point where we're looking for the Antichrist. Now, look, when I say we're looking for the Antichrist, I'm not going to be here to see him. Neither is David. Neither is any other Christian, living or dead. We're not going to mess with the Antichrist. But I'm telling you, he's right around the corner. And for all of you guys that don't believe, you're going to believe shortly. I guarantee you that. Sure. And you got an opportunity to escape that. We're going to tell you about that too. Coming up in the second half of Last Christian.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Benji Hire with your Week in Review, a roundup of what's been making headlines in past days.
I spoke with His Majesty the King to request the dissolution of Parliament. The King has granted this request, and we will have a general election on the 4th of July.
In the pouring rain and battling the sound of a loudspeaker system, Rishi Sunak confirmed that Britain will be heading to the polls. Following frenzied speculation and swirling rumours in the hallways of London, the UK's Prime Minister took to the steps of No. 10 Downing Street on Wednesday to set the date. Earlier in the week, the United States condemned the International Criminal Court's chief prosecutor for seeking arrest warrants for Israeli and Hamas senior figures. The ICC application is directed at Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Yoav Gallant over war crimes and crimes against humanity in Gaza, and it targets Hamas leaders for their involvement in the deadly October 7th attack. Separately, the International Court of Justice ordered Israel to halt its military offensive in the southern Gazan city of Rafah, where hundreds of thousands of displaced Palestinians are still sheltering. William Dentelo reports from the ICJ in The Hague.
It was an overwhelming ruling from the 15-member panel of the ICJ ordering Israel to cease its military operation in Rafah to allow more humanitarian aid into Gaza as well. The ICJ has ordered Israel to, within a month, check back in to ensure they're complying with this order, also to allow unhindered access when it comes to UN investigators into Gaza going forward as well. Israel has long maintained that it is complying with international humanitarian law, and it's doing what it can to protect civilian life. But the message from the ICJ is overwhelming, that they say that Israel needs to do more on that front.
The United Nations top court is also investigating whether Israel has violated the Genocide Convention, charges Israel strongly denies. That case was brought by South Africa. Meanwhile, the UN has resumed transporting humanitarian aid arriving at a US-built pier off the coast of the Gaza Strip. Deliveries were halted earlier this week due to security reasons. Back in Europe,
recognition is an act of powerful political and symbolic value.
Irish Premier Simon Harris has announced his country will recognise Palestine as an independent state, a decision he says not against Israel nor in favour of Hamas, but in support of peace. The step, also taken by Norway and Spain, and in the past by more than 140 nations, has been described as distorted by Israel, but it's been welcomed by Hamas and its rival, the Palestinian Authority. And that was your Week in Review.
And welcome back, everyone, to the second half of Last Christian. Again, I'm J.D. Williams here in East Texas, and that's David Paxton there in New York City. For those of you watching us in visual form, and remember, you can always do that. Just go to www.lastchristian.net, www.lastchristian.net. You can always find the latest video there. Okay, David, I promised everybody we're going to get into Israel, and we are. And we're going to do that really, really quick here. So I'm going to start with what the world has been focusing on here in the last 7 months, maybe. Ever since they were brutally attacked, and I think we need to go back into this again. Israel was sitting there doing absolutely nothing, and then the terrorists of Hamas in Gaza decided that they were going to come across. With drones, with all kinds of weaponry, and they were just going to kill indiscriminately Israeli citizens. And they succeeded in doing that before they finally were turned back. And so Israel said, okay, you declared war on us? Fine, here we come. And ever since then, the world has been freaking out about Israel winning. Basically, that's it. So anyway, here we go. Let's listen to this now. This is another mainstream report.
An Israeli airstrike aimed at a residential structure in a central Gaza refugee camp claimed at least 27 lives, predominantly women and children, according to a local hospital's account, the Associated Press conveyed.
Sunday's bombing unfolded as clashes intensified across northern Gaza, while Israel's leadership voiced disunity over governance of the Palestinian territory after the war's eight-month duration. It also coincided with a U.S. envoy's regional visit, meeting various leaders through midweek. Benjamin Wright reporting.
So, people in Gaza, controlled by terrorists in Gaza, have reported that there were civilian casualties in Gaza, but that's unsubstantiated by any credible news agency anywhere in the world. So I guess that counts, right?
It counts. That's known as witchcraft, by the way, when you purposely mislead people, subliminal processing and all that stuff. It's studied a lot because a lot of times, being in sales, they're like, hey, use these subliminal ways to sell things. And I started, oh, let me look into that. And it's like, wait a minute, you know, that's kind of witchcraft. How about if I just sell something that people need and give them a good deal? Right. So that's what I do. But you'll notice a come thing. It says, according to the hospital, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, well, according to the hospital. And then the Associated Press conveyed. So they throw in these names or name dropping.
Right.
The Associated Press. But all they did was convey what the hospital said, which we know is a lie.
Right.
So they make it sound like the Associated Press is telling you this is what really happened, when in fact, it's just witchcraft with their words, and the Associated Press is just telling you what the hospital said happened, which are known liars.
Well, you know, it's a lot like what we see in the mainstream media right now, and here I'm going to point to reporting of a couple of agencies that everybody now understands that MSNBC is a far-left outlet and that CNN is right behind them. And then I can switch over to the other side and say, okay, well, Fox News is primarily a right-leaning network that is coming further and further to the middle, if you ask me.
Yeah, well, and I think they're controlled opposition, but anyway, and that's the whole reason for them going to the middle.
Yeah. So, whenever you're watching, like, MSNBC is the worst, as far as I'm concerned, because show me the opposition there. I mean, now, they may bring in somebody that claims to be a Republican, like John Kasich, the former governor of Ohio. He's not a Republican. Okay, he's a rhino. He's a Republican in name only. So his opinion doesn't count. Republicans don't follow him at all. So,
it's sad. We really have to parse that out, because originally they came up with a name for a certain, belief and system to follow, being conservative. But now it really does. It just doesn't mean anything right now. Oh, what's going to get me elected? Should I be A or B? Yeah. And what people say is two wings of the same bird. And sadly, it's come to that. It's just they're mixing everything together. It's just becoming a mishmash.
The latest, ironically,
is this end of the age sign.
The latest that supports what you just said is Nikki Haley coming out to say that she supports Donald Trump after swearing to God she wouldn't do it 2 or 3 months ago.
Yeah, she came out against him. I guess it was hurting her career.
Yeah, it was killing it. And unfortunately for her, the damage is done. Okay, because there's people like me that are going to remember that and will never vote for her for dog catcher. I mean, that's just the way it is. But anyway, I don't believe in these reports unless they are, I guess the best way to say this is this way. When I report something, I get it from multiple sources. And I'm not talking secondhand. I'm talking multiple sources that actually have, are a part of it before I will include it on the show. And in this case, with them reporting about these civilian deaths, they didn't get anybody to go along with it. They just took the word of some spokesman at the hospital.
Which was probably Hamas who took over the basement. That's why they bombed it to begin with. So they says, here, say this. Because I'm the head of the president of the hospital now. So
So it doesn't count. In my opinion, it just doesn't count. Okay.
Yeah, well, here's... Well, it counts in a one way is because we know the exact opposite is true, because the devil's a liar. So whatever he says, the exact opposite must be true.
Amen. Amen. Okay. This one is true, and it's scary. Okay. And I want you to listen to this. And by the way, just so everybody knows, I love Ireland. Ireland, when I was working in the airline industry, my favorite destination on earth was Ireland. I absolutely love the country and love the people. Okay, I'm just prefacing the report with that. Okay, here we go.
Spain, Ireland, and Norway have announced they will recognize Palestine as a state. The move has sparked a strong response from Israeli officials. William Denslow reports from Brussels.
Ireland's Foreign Minister Michael Martin says the Palestinian people's right to self-determination, peace, dignity, and statehood must be vindicated. Ireland, along with Spain and Norway, have announced they will formally recognise Palestine as a state on May 28th. Israel's recalled its ambassadors from Norway and Ireland for consultations, with Foreign Minister Israel Katz warning it will not go over this in silence. Over 140 nations recognise the state of Palestine, and Ireland's Prime Minister says he's confident more will follow in the coming weeks. William Denslow, Brussels.
So there are over 140 countries that recognize Palestinian as a state. Now then, I'm going to ask each one of those 140 plus countries, what are its borders? What do you think,
Dave? Exactly where. So, this is amazing. I am in Isaiah 17, I'm going to start in verse 12. Check this out. Woe to the multitude of many peoples which make a noise like the noise of the sea, and the rushing of nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations shall rush like the rushing of many waters, but God shall rebuke them, and they shall flee far off. and shall be chased as the chaff of the mountains before the wind and like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. So, yeah, everyone's going to come, and like, here they are. They're rushing, like, rushing things. Yeah. There's a lot of rushing going on in here. But God's will come back, and he will rebuke them. Now, that, you know, it's Isaiah, so he's talking about the, you know, the seven-year period.
Right.
But it will happen.
Yeah.
So, well, what that does to me is, you know, like Wolverud always said, when you see the Christmas decorations go up in the mall, you know, Thanksgiving's around the corner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when we see all these things, we know these things are precursor to the tribulation period.
Right.
Wars and rumors of wars, and all these things must happen. Well, since we know that the bride is taken home for the wedding feast before that seven-year period, which is assigned to Israel, then we know that the rapture is even closer. So it's not like we're looking for the Antichrist. We're just noticing all these things and getting excited because Jesus is coming back. And it's going to be super.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you look down there on the bottom of the screen, again, for those of you watching in video form, you see that what I've got is I've got a warning sign over the Bible, because that's exactly what it is. The Bible is warning everyone right now that God knew the end from the beginning. He said that himself. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're seeing happen in the world right now, that is a warning. That is a prophetic warning. And you're seeing it happen on your TV screen at night or in your newspaper or whatever. You see it playing out in real time in current events going on right now in 2024. And the next thing on the prophetic calendar is right there in the middle, rapture. That's what we're waiting on, the rapture of the church, where every Christian, living and dead, will ascend into the clouds to meet Jesus before what you see on the right happens. And that is the tribulation period. It's 7 years, the worst time in the history of the world. There's never been anything like it before, never anything like it again. I know we had a guest on the other day that was convinced that we were in the tribulation. No. It's going to be 100 times, 1,000,000 times worse than what you're seeing right now. I don't want no part of it, and I promise you this.
Yeah, Christians won't be here to mitigate it.
Go ahead, David. You speak to it for a minute.
Okay. The it's a time of Jacob's trouble. So as far as that, it's 1 week. Okay. So yeah, you can look at different things and you can say they're you know, we're gonna get mid or post or anything like that. But in reality, you have to understand that the church or the ecclesia is a different body than Israel. And most people don't do that. And they're either, you know, replacement theologists, which is calling God a liar right out of the gate. Oh, God's promises to Israel aren't true. Israel will repent. And there's a different thing. Does Abraham had offspring like the stars and offspring like the sand?
Right.
When you start to really see that there's different origins, different destinations, different missions for the church versus Israel, it doesn't mean that they're not with Jesus. Both of them are under Christ the King, but the King has different regimens all over the place. There's the Navy, there's the Air Force, okay? There's the Marines. There's different roles. And if you go to a wedding, not everybody's the bride.
Right.
If everyone's the bride, who's going to wear the wedding gown?
Yeah, right.
Okay? So there's got to be different people, and there's different people make up a kingdom. And it's the same with the angels. There's different ranks of angels. That's why we see archangels. They're the top ones.
Right.
And they're in ranks of 100. And even if you read the book of Enoch, it talks about you know, the fallen angels. Mm-hmm. They had their ranks as well. Mm-hmm. So that spilled over from the ranks they had in heaven. There were ranks over 10 and ranks over 50 and ranks over 200. And so you'll see that there's different roles, different ranks, and different jobs for each one. When you understand that, you can see why if it's going back to Israel, because the law and the prophets were unto John. Okay? So he says, okay, at John the Baptist, law and the prophets are over. Now we're moving into this age of grace. Okay,
right.
what we call it today. But there's that still that final week that's left. If you read Daniel chapter 9, it's that final 7-year period. And everything in Revelation lines up with that. Yep. We see the two prophets who are the same miracles as Moses and Elijah. Exact same miracles. Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. They were the same two that were seen on the Mount of Transfiguration. Okay. And what happened when Peter's like, hey, let's build a house for everybody. And he's like, no, law and the prophets, Moses and Elijah vanished. And it was only, this is my son, my beloved son. So we're going to see this change. It's going to go back to the same political kind of structure that was before. But this time, Jesus is actually going to take over. See, the disciples thought he was going to take over back then. That's
right
what Matthew
then. Yeah. Before. Right then. Mm-hmm.
And they thought he was going to take over then, and he's like, nah, you don't get it. We got to do this. He explains right? Nah, the Son of Man's got to die, and Peter's like, no!
That'll never happen. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, they didn't understand it in Matthew 24 and Luke 12 and Mark 12. Yeah. Well, anyway, that same story in Mark and Luke.
Right.
But here we are. We're at the end of what we call the age of grace. Even the Essenes, they were all Jews. They're the ones that became the first Christians. Yeah. They became Christians. And people say, oh, but we're all one in Christ. Yes, when we are in Christ, we are one because we're called out, ecclesia. So we're called out from the Jews, called out from the Gentiles, and we're a separate people.
Amen.
Okay, that are neither Jew nor Gentile. That's what he was saying. But the Jews are still there, and the Gentiles are still there. If you go through the New Testament, it's always the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the church is basically a separate entity. It's a new creation. It's amazing. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, we're not going to be here for the tribulation. That's my point.
No, we're not. And we are going to be taken in the rapture. And you know, I think it's important for people that have not accepted Christ yet to understand that just like there's a last play in every football game, there's also going to be that last individual to accept Jesus Christ before the rapture of the church, and after that, it's game over. You know, I'm not saying that you can't be saved after the rapture, but what I am saying is that if you aren't saved if you're not saved before the rapture of the church, you've got to go through at least part of the tribulation period, and there's no reason to do that.
And you're not one of the bride. I want to be the bride and rule and reign with him.
Right. All you got to do is accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and you just say a quick prayer of the Lord in your own words. Say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I know Jesus Christ is your Son. I know he was crucified. I know he died on the cross, and I know he rose again after 3 days, just like he said he would. I know he promised that he's coming back for his church before God unleashes his wrath, and then he ascended to heaven. He sits at the right hand of God waiting on the instruction to go get his church, and I promise to follow you all the rest of the days of my life in Jesus' name. And if you'll do that, you're saved. You don't have to worry about the tribulation. You don't have to worry about everything going on in the world today. You're going to have a peace in you that surpasses all understanding. Okay. Now then, that said, every week, David, I listen to a report and I pull parts of it. Okay? Just parts of it. It's only 3 minutes in length. Give me a week in review. Okay? And usually, if Israel is mentioned, it will take up about 15 seconds of that 3 minutes. I'm going to play today the entire week in review, except for what isn't Israel. What isn't Israel isn't included. And I want you to look at this very carefully because it's almost 3 minutes in length.
From Feature Story News in Washington, I'm Benji Hire with your Week in Review, a roundup of what's been making headlines in past days. Earlier in the week, the United States condemned the International Criminal Court's chief prosecutor for seeking arrest warrants for Israeli and Hamas senior figures. The ICC application is directed at Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and Defense Minister Yoav Gallant over war crimes and crimes against humanity in Gaza, and it targets Hamas leaders for their involvement in the deadly October 7th attack. Separately, the International Court of Justice ordered Israel to halt its military offensive in the southern Gazan city of Rafah, where hundreds of thousands of displaced Palestinians are still sheltering. William Dentelo reports from the ICJ in The Hague.
It was an overwhelming ruling from the 15-member panel of the ICJ ordering Israel to cease its military operation in Rafah to allow more humanitarian aid into Gaza as well. The ICJ has ordered Israel to, within a month, check back in to ensure they're complying with this order, also to allow unhindered access when it comes to UN investigators into Gaza going forward as well. Israel has long maintained that it is complying with the with international humanitarian law, and it's doing what it can to protect civilian life. But the message from the ICJ is overwhelming, that they say that Israel needs to do more on that front.
The United Nations top court is also investigating whether Israel has violated the Genocide Convention. Charges Israel strongly denies. That case was brought by South Africa. Meanwhile, the UN has resumed transporting humanitarian aid arriving at a US-built pier off the coast of the Gaza Strip. Deliveries were halted earlier this week due to security reasons. Back in Europe,
recognition is an act of powerful political and symbolic value.
Irish Premier Simon Harris has announced his country will recognise Palestine as an independent state, a decision he says not against Israel nor in favour of Hamas, but in support of peace. The step, also taken by Norway and Spain, and in the past by more than 140 nations, has been described as distorted by Israel, but it's been welcomed by Hamas and its rival, the Palestinian Authority. And that was your Week in Review.
Unbelievable. I mean, everything that you heard there is Israel. It's all about Israel. Everything. All eyes on Israel, like you see over my shoulder there. First of all, they are now saying that they are issuing an arrest warrant for the Prime Minister of Israel, as well as Mr. Gallant as well. They're ordering Israel to stop its war in Gaza and let the terrorists live, to which Israel, well, I'll describe it, I won't show it. They're giving them the middle finger on that one. They're going to continue to go in there, and they're going to take care of business. God bless them. I hope they get every terrorist. The aid, you notice there was only a minor, just kind of like a glossed over thing there about how Hamas might be, could be, it's possible maybe that they're blocking aid, when they are the reason that the aid is blocked 100%. Okay.
Yeah.
David,
just check out the videos of them, you know, stealing the food and then selling it in the market.
Yeah. Yeah. Incredible. Mm. What are your impressions on all that, David? I mean, they're saying that Israel's a war criminal when they're the ones that got attacked by war criminals. It's, you know, good is bad, bad is good. Last days.
Yeah,
stuff.
I mean,
go ahead.
Again, here we are. You know, the devil's a liar, and he's going to lie. So if anybody's got any brains out there, you don't really get upset at what they're saying, but you use it, and you say, okay, if they said that, then now they're actually telling me the truth, because I just know I flip it over. The exact opposite is true. So it actually, they're giving us information, you know, while trying to, you know, lie to us. Now we know the real information. It's just as simple as that. So they're giving their hand away unwittingly. But here in Psalm 118 verse 10, it says, all nations compassed about me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They compassed me about, yea, they compassed me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. It's a song, remember? So I say it again. They compassed me about like bees. They are quenched as the fire of thorns. If for in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song, and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous, and the right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. So they're all going to come. They're going to come around like bees, and we're going to see them, and God's doing it on purpose. He's going to gather them all together so he can destroy them all at once. And it's going to be a glorious day, because the king is going to rule.
And isn't that exactly what's happening now, that the world is coming together as one?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it really are. It's crazy, the whole world. All you see in your social media feeds is these people all over the world holding their Palestinian flags, and you're like, wow, he was right. The harvest is going to be very sparse. The road is narrow, is what he says. Yeah. It's going to be very few people who are actually going to be saved. You know,
and I think it's important.
More dinner for me, though.
I think it's important for people to understand that before Israel became a state, even way before, that the United Nations tried to create a Israel and a Palestine, whatever. I don't know if it's all Palestine or not, but anyway, they were trying to create two states, and the Palestinians were so against it because they didn't want Israel alive. They wanted them to be extinct. I mean, there's no other way to say it than that, and it's true. So they decided not to do it, and then they told the people that lived there to leave, because if they stayed, the Jews would kill them. So, I mean, and they pumped that, and they pumped it, and they pumped it until the Palestinians left. Israel came back home, and then the Palestinians says, "Oh, you took our houses. No, you gave your houses away. I'm sorry. That was your mistake. You listened to your leaders. Go take care of your leaders and leave Israel alone." I mean, that's the truth, right?
Yeah, and it's sad because here it is, the Muslim leadership is actually using them as pawns, and they don't care where they live and die. Matter of fact, they would rather they die so they can use it for their narrative. I mean, and like they're all like this Iranian president dude. Mm-hmm. Like, he was using them for his own purposes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and the thing is that with the Iranian thing, they're using everybody except Iranians right now. I mean, the first time that they actually did something with Israel was just maybe a month or two ago when they tried to do something, and all they did was kill some little girl that happened to be a Muslim. That was it. That was the full thing of their attack, which shows you that God's in control. You know, I mean, in my opinion, that just shows you that God's not going to let anything happen to Israel. It's just not. You know, the Bible makes that pretty clear, too.
But the Lord is my strength and my song, and is become my salvation. And they will rejoice. They'll be rejoicing.
So I'm going to put this back up. I'm going to put this back up on screen one more time. So what is the world's final solution? I'll tell you exactly what it is. It's the same thing as Hitler's final solution was, and that is the extermination of the Jewish nation, the extermination of the Jews, period. That's where we're going. And that's something that our God is not going to let happen. And with that, David, I'm going to give you the last minute and whatever we got. Go ahead.
Okay, so here we are. We see the nation's rage coming on. I'm going to bring up Psalm 67 as well, and this is going to be afterwards. So I want to encourage people. You know, we talk about all the stuff that's happening now, but it's just as a warning, so you repent, because the joy is right on the other side of it, just like a baby. That's why he calls them birth pains, because it's going to be really hard and painful and all that nasty stuff, but then the baby's on the other side of that.
Right.
So it's the same thing here. It's going to be really hard and nasty. The whole world is going to see the worst time ever, but immediately on the other side of that, it'll be done. Okay, and then there's that the initial thousand-year reign with Christ, and it's going to be here. Let me see. Actually, let's just read the whole psalm. It's only a few verses.
Okay.
Chief musician, God be merciful to us and bless us, cause his face to shine upon us. Okay. Let the nations be glad and sing in verse 4, for he shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. Let the people praise thee. Then the earth shall yield her increase, and God, or even our own God, shall bless us. That's what we're looking forward to. That's why we're encouraging you to receive Jesus now, because he paid for your sins.
Amen.
Okay? And once he paid for your sins, then you are entitled to go into this kingdom with him, because you now are sinless. All right? That's going to be a beautiful place. People will praise you. There'll be fruit all over the place, be lands and wonderful things. So we'll tell you more about that on the upcoming shows. Lord willing, we'll see you next time.
Thanks again for joining us today for the Last Christian Radio Show. And be sure to tune in every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday right here and at www.lastchristian.net. Until the trumpet sounds.
Put a frog in boiling water and it'll jump right out. But put a frog in cool water and slowly heat it up, that frog will boil. As veterans, we tell ourselves the lie that we can handle anything. We let the water boil. You are not a frog. If you or a veteran you know needs support, don't wait. Reach out. Find resources at va.gov/reach. That's va.gov/reach. Brought to you by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs and the Ad Council.